Some of them are excited to go to kids' church this morning. They'll bring a bit of Africa to kids' church. So before I start preaching, I just wanted to give you guys a bit of an accountability of the last 2 years. So obviously you guys personally support Fred and I as missionaries, but also many of you have given to different projects. Some of you sponsor some of our children. And last year you'll remember, sorry, not last year, 2 years ago, you'll remember that we were raising funds to build girls' homes, and many of you gave to that. And so it's good for you guys to actually see where your money is going, because we do have that guarantee that 100% of what you give actually goes to the designated project. And so it's nice for you to actually see what you have contributed to and what you guys are a part of, because this is also part of your harvest as well. So if I can get the team to put the slide up, please, that would be awesome. So 2017, that's what our girls' home looked like. Very attractive, right? And after our tour, we raised enough money to build our 4 girls' homes. So it went to that. And the awesome news is we raised above and beyond what we needed, which was awesome. So on top of building 4 girls' homes, we were able to build 3 kitchens for the boys, the girls, and the school. Also 2 new boys' homes that you can see behind. This was taken in November. So as of now, it's fully complete, the boys' section, and they're living up in there. And on top of that, we still had more money left over. So next slide, please. We also had enough money to build a baby's home that people generously gave the money. They sold their house and gave the profits in obedience to God. And God put on their hearts to give it to us for a baby's home. That was like in our 5-year plan, but not immediate plan. And the amazing thing, God's so good that they'd put the money in our account 6 weeks later. We had a random audit inspection from the Ministry of Gender, came out to Mitiana, and they said to us, please can you open a baby's home, because there are no registered baby's homes across a number of districts, including Mitiana and the surrounding districts. So we've got millions of children and many babies where we've got nowhere to place them. And so God had already provided the money out of the obedience of these people. And so we have built an 8-bedroom baby's home, which will sleep 40 babies. One mum looks after 5 children maximum. And if we keep going inside that, you will see that's the dining room. So we've made it nice and colourful. Our good old eBay Chinese wall decals. I love them. Makes it nice and bright. And that's also inside the baby's room. That's the daycare playroom for all the kids. So that's been amazing. On top of that, we still had some money left over. And so the next thing. Oh, sorry, that's baby Christine. Baby Christine, if you've been following our journey on Facebook, you may have seen that there was a baby whose mum passed away, and she passed away from internal hemorrhaging. And it hit me hard, because when I had Destiny, I hemorrhaged, and I was here in Australia, gave birth, and so I was fine because I had doctors here that could look after me. But here's a mum born into a different country, exactly the same issue. She was exactly the same age that I was when I gave birth to Destiny 3.5 years ago. And because of where she lives and because of the medical situation, she passed away. They couldn't help her. And so it hit me hard. And her father is quite old and mentally unstable. And so they just left the baby because, firstly, they thought that she was a curse on the family, that she had killed the mother. And secondly, they didn't know what to do with her. She was pooing blood for 3 days, and they also couldn't afford formula, because formula is double the price of Australia. So I called Fred when I saw this baby, and I said, honey, how would you feel about us bringing another baby home until we get our baby's home sorted out? And Fred's like, yeah, no worries, bring her home. He's such a good husband. And so from the beginning, God said to us that we would have her for a season. Like many people said to me, you know, why didn't you adopt her? Da-da. Well, she still has a dad, and I don't feel that they're adoptable when they've got parents, regardless of what situation that he's in at that stage. But also God said to us, she's yours for a season. It was very different to with hope for us. And so we just have to be obedient to what God tells us to do. And so we took her in. That's her when she was 2 days old. She was 2.0 kilograms, but she is now walking. If you have a look at the next slide, that's her in January, and she's walking and she's doing really awesome. So that's baby Christine. So she's the first baby that went into our baby's home. We've now got many. We just added one last week, baby Jeremiah. He was found, they think he's about 2 months, We had to give him the name Jeremiah because nobody knows the name. They can't track the parents. He was just found under a bush in a district about 2 hours away from us, but there's no baby's home there. So the government rang our local government, who then called us to go and get the baby. So, yeah, so that's been awesome. Next one, please. On top of that, we had enough money for a school library. So all those paintings that you can see on the wall are from the very talented George. So he told you he's studying to be an art teacher. Well, he's already 100 times better than me at art. And you can see it goes all the way around the room, and he did it from his memory. Amazing. And so we've been able to set all of that up. King's School gave us some iPads, so it's our kids' favourite lesson of the week. They get to go up there 4 times a week for reading groups. And we have made a lot of our own readers and things, but we're also collecting some to take back from King's this year, which is awesome. So that's our school library. And on top of that, we still had some money still left over. We'll keep going. Reading. Our kids' reading levels have improved dramatically since then. We had enough money to build a forestry project. So we were able to buy 27 acres of land. It's about 40 minutes away from Hope Village. And Fred, my husband, you know, he's very laid back, but when it comes to work, he's a good taskmaster. So if we could, we'll just go back one, sorry, to the forestry project. Thank you. So he would make his workers of 8 workers. They had to plant 2,500 seedlings before they're allowed to have lunch. So if you want to come and volunteer, then feel free. It's a really good, it's a great, you know, exercise diet program. And you can look like George at the end of it, you see? So they have planted thousands. It's all done by hand. They had to clear it all by hand and then dig the holes, plant them all. And so in the future, why this is good, it's to help us to be a bit more self-sustainable. So you plant them close together, and then at 5 years, you harvest every second one, which can be used for scaffolding. All the builders would love that here. And then at 10 years, you get to actually harvest it for timbers, and you make quite a good profit. So on top of that, since we've purchased the land last year, it's nearly doubled in value already. So that's been awesome as well. They've just put a massive big highway right next to where our land is, and tarred it, which is awesome if you've been to Uganda. So we have been able to do all of that with the money that we raised from the last tour. So it has been incredible, and that's just accountability back to you guys so that you know exactly where your money has gone to and that it actually has been used for what we told you that it would be used for. And if we can go to the next one now, please. So this is now Hope Village. It's really good to see it with a drone. So for those of you who know the story, or if you don't know the story, I moved to Uganda 6.5 years ago. So it was just over 6 years ago that we purchased the first 5 acres of land on your right-hand side. And now we are at over 15 acres. And this has been 6 years. Isn't God amazing? We literally started, if you can see where the words Hope Village are, that's what all of Hope Village looked like. It was just trees and shrub. We've had to clear it all. When I say we, I mean Fred and the team, not me. I sit behind the computer. No, I overlook the projects. But we have fenced all the way around. You can see if you're moving from the left where the words Hope Village are up the top, that's our girls' compound. So in the future, that's going to have 5 of those quadplexes, so 20 houses in total. Where next is the boys, they'll have 4 quadplexes, which is 16 houses in total. There's always more need for girls because boys are more of a superannuation plan for families. So they tend to try to marry the girls off younger, or they just don't care as much about girls' education. Then going across is our first school building. So we've started a school up to grade 3 this year, going to grade 4 next year. Going across where the white roof is, that's our timber church. Coming down, we've got a volleyball court and a netball court, but that's where our future medical clinic and admin will go. The netball will stay. Coming down again where the clumps of grass are, that is now fully grassed off, and we're going to have 3 volleyball courts there. We've started a volleyball community competition. And then coming down, you can see our soccer field. So we have soccer community competitions as well, getting out into the community, and a lot of those people then come to church, so it's great for evangelism. Then coming across, we've got our dairy project in the middle. It used to be a piggery. We've now converted it to a dairy because we were struggling to make enough money with the pigs, whereas with the cows, they're a lot easier to feed. Pigs eat so much food. And then our kids get fresh milk every day. So that's been great. And we obviously have enough food. You can see how green it is. And then coming across, we've got the baby's home there as well. Then down the bottom, it's too wet to plant on. There's a river that runs through there, a creek. And so that's where we've got all fruit trees and the elephant grass to feed the cows. We also have purchased up the top where the boys' home and the school is, straight up from there, we own 1.5 acres up the top there where our future secondary school will go and vocational training centre. And we're currently praying and believing for the piece of land that's right next to it, right above the church. So you can pray for us and believe for that as well. And then on the just on the outside, you can't see it, but we have 1.5 acres on the other side for our future boarding section as well. So that's 6 years of what God can do if you just be obedient. I think that's it, right? Oh, there might be one more. Oh, yes. What we're raising money for this year. So this year, what we're raising money for, we need 4 more classrooms. We've run out of classrooms this year. So next year, our grade 4s need a classroom to start studying. And so we're raising money to build grades 4 to 7 classrooms and also a computer lab. We want to teach our kids technology because when they're at university, they're expected to know technology. But most kids out in the villages have never seen nor touched a computer. So we need to get them skilled. Even if they don't go to university, it will help them to get admin jobs, all different, like if they want to run their own business, they need to do all of those things as well. So we're raising money for that. We're also raising money to build a multi-purpose centre. So where our church is, if you can go to the next slide, please. As I said, it's made of timbers and iron sheets, which Fred and the guys built, and it's just dirt floor on the inside. In Uganda, there are not many rules, but when it comes to churches, there are rules, as always. So the rule in Uganda, if you don't have a brick church, you cannot marry people. So it's one of the issues that we're facing is we've got a lot of people in our community and in our church that want to get married, but we can't marry them legally. So we want to be able to build a brick structure so that we can marry them because a lot of them are cohabiting and they want to get their lives put into order. So we want to be able to help them to do that. And a lot of churches in other places where they do have a brick building, they will charge a lot of money and people can't afford it. So we want to offer that as a free service to the community. We also, there are no community centres in any of the 5 surrounding districts, which are millions and millions of people. The closest is Kampala, which is the capital city, which is 1.5 to 2 hours drive away. So our choir have never performed locally in Uganda because there's no community centre to perform at. And all the churches are dirt stages. So it's very difficult to do a lot of what they do on dirt. So we want to be able to put on concerts for the community and allow different local artists to come together and do that as well. And also as a school auditorium. So it will get a lot of use. So that's what we're raising money for this year. So if you would like to give, then I'm actually just going to take up the offering now, if that's all right. I'm going to do it a bit out of order because I feel that God wants to do something a bit different today. Like usual when I preach here, God always tells me not to have notes. For some reason, when I come to Kings, I'm not allowed to have notes when I'm preaching. So we're going to do some ministry time at the end. So I want to take up the offering now for 100% Hope. And on your chair, there are envelopes. It's tax deductible. We're registered in Australia. As I said, 100% of whatever you want to give. You don't have to give. Please don't feel any compulsion to give. But if you would like to give and to continue to support the ministry and what we're doing over there, there are different options on the envelope. You can select a project that you feel passionate about. If you don't have a particular passion, then our current need is the school. So you could select school. And there's credit card facilities on there, there's debit card facilities, or you can put cash in and just put your details and put your email address if you'd like a tax receipt for that. If you just want to give, you can feel free to throw something in the bucket as they're coming around in a... Are we ready to do that? I've really thrown a spanner in the works, hey? I'm good at that. It's all right because I'm leaving soon. So we're going to give you like 10 seconds. And also, if you just want to give something by card at the end, we've got the table at the back. We've got FPOS facilities, so you can just give by card if you would like. But we would love for you to contribute to what we're doing over there and continue to further the kingdom. So I can't sing for you. You'd all run away. So I'm just going to start. Oh, yes, there's another flyer on card on your chair. Thanks, Trish. It's for Mount Kilimanjaro, some of you might have a bucket list where you want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. It's not technically one of my things on my bucket list, but I know that there are many people who would love to do that. We have got a team of volunteers who came over. They organised those trips. They've done it themselves before. And all of the money that's raised for that trip goes to 100% Hope. So you can go and fulfill a bucket list requirement while also then contributing to the organisation. So if you want more details, just grab the card that's on your chair about that as well. So as we're doing that, I'm just going to start preaching because we don't have long left. Is that all right? Will that distract you too much or can I get going? We're all good. Hand up if you have been here before and you've heard my story before. Hand up if you've never heard the story before. Oh, a few. Okay. If you haven't heard the story before, you can jump on the internet. What's the name of the documentary? There's a documentary that Channel 9 did, and it can tell you more of the story. I tell the story, but because so many people have heard it, I don't want to go over it again. But you can jump on and hear more of our story. Thanks. Aussie Mum, African Heart. You can Google that, and it will come up for you and just tell you a bit more about how we got started. But today, as I've been praying this week and asking God what he wants me to preach on, I really felt God to just keep saying the word faith. And I was like, okay, God, so where are we going with this? And for those of you, oh goodness, I'm going to start crying already. I do this every time. For those of you who know our journey, we buried a baby 5 weeks ago. But during that time, God lifted our faith like never before, and it's still up. I can stand here and I can cry, but my faith is still high. And today I really feel like there are people who are sitting here and you've had promises from God and you have been waiting a long time for those promises to come to pass and you've nearly given up on them. But I want to tell you that God is not a God that's limited by time. God's not limited by anything. Thanks. I even told myself I should pack tissues. And when we were going through the whole journey with Miracle, our baby Miracle, God gave us so many promises. And we know that those promises, some of them have come to pass and some of them will come to pass. We know that. And I can stand here today and even though we've lost a baby as such on the earth, we haven't lost a baby forever. I can stand here and declare that God is still good because God doesn't change even when our circumstances change. You can go through anything in your life, but you need to remember that God doesn't change. And, you know, God didn't promise us an easy life. We know that this world is full of sin. We know that this world is full of problems. It's full of temptations, but we don't have to focus on that. We have to focus on what God's doing. And, you know, God is always at work and there are things sometimes that we see in the natural, but we need to take our eyes off that and start to listen to what the Spirit is speaking because that's what faith is all about. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. But so often as people, we want to walk by what we see. We want to walk by what we experience. We want to walk by the natural circumstances around us. When things are going well, we're up here. When things are going bad, we drop down. And we're sometimes like this in our journey. But God doesn't want that. God just wants us to keep going like this with him. Yeah, things will knock us down, but we've got to get back up. And, you know, we were believing for Miracle to be raised from the dead. And to be honest, we still feel like that God could. That's how much faith God has given us. Because we were praying, God, either raise her from the dead or give us a picture of her in heaven. And still to this day, God hasn't given us a picture of her in heaven. And so we walked away from that grave and I said to Fred, but I still feel like God could raise her. And he said, even me. And so God said to us though, when we were standing by her grave, the one thing God said to us, having done all, now stand. And someone needs to hear that today. Having done all, now stand. You've done what you can do now. Just stand and let God do what he needs to do and keep moving forward. Now, we were fasting in the lead up to that and I was kind of like, oh, do I keep fasting for another 3 days and believe for God to bust that grave open? But God said to us, just stand. You've done what you can do now. Stand and move forward. And so I want to tell you today that we need to stand. There are too many Christians sitting down right across the world, in church and out of church. Too many of us are sitting down, not doing what God has called us to do. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. I don't know why God wanted us to believe for miracle to be raised from the dead. I don't have all the answers. I can't stand here and give you all the answers. I am human. But one thing that I know is that we were obedient to what God told us to do. And even to this day, I've heard like different, you know, things, people say different things. You know, do you regret what you did? No, I don't regret it. I know that I was obedient to what God told us to do. But the problem is that too many of us are living in fear. And fear is the opposite of faith. Too many times we are surrounded with fear and doubt, and we live our lives according to the fear of people. It's probably one of the number one fears, and it's one of the number one things that stops us from doing what God has called us to do. Now, you know, 3 months ago, if you had have told me to believe for someone to be raised from the dead, I probably would have, like, I know that God can do it, but I don't think I would have had the faith for it. That's the honest truth. But God raised our faith so much that I have seen it now in the spirit, and I know it's going to happen. And we as a church need to start believing for more. Because the Bible tells us in John 14 that we're going to do even greater than what Jesus did. Now, we say that we believe it. We can say amen. But what are we actually doing about it? Are you raising your faith to believe for those things? Because too many of us, like I said, we sit back. We live a comfortable life. You don't have to go be a missionary. There are times even when I'm overseas where I can sit back and be comfortable. That's the truth. Doesn't matter where you are. You can sit back and just get into this complacency. But God's telling us it's time to stand up and fight. We have to fight the good fight. Where is our faith? Too many of us feel like we have to be silenced because of what politics say or what the world says or what this person says, or it's judgmental, it's whatever. I'm not telling you go and judge people. I'm telling you go out in love, but let your faith start to rise up. What are you believing God for? Are you believing God for a miracle? Are you believing God to use you to do miracles, signs and wonders? Because that's the season that we're about to enter into. I really have seen God's drawing a line in the sand, and there are too many people standing on that line with one foot either side. There are too many lukewarm Christians who just do their bit of church, do their bit of world stuff, come, go, do as they please, but they're not actually being effective in the kingdom. God's getting sick of it, and there's a time coming where God's going to say, make a choice, be hot or cold. You know, for me, I want to be hot. And recently, what I've been praying, Fred and I have been praying, is that God would remove 100% all fear of man off us, because we don't want to be limited by that. We want to be able to walk 100% in faith, just in obedience to God. And, you know, throughout the last 6 years of me being in Uganda, it's the one thing that God keeps repeating to me over and over again, and I've said it here so many times, but it doesn't change. Listen and obey. That's all that God wants for us. And Fred and I, at the start of each year, we ask God to give us a word for our family for that year. And this year, God gave us the word intimacy. And I was saying to Fred a few weeks ago, I was like, well, I don't understand why God gave us that word intimacy. Like, surely it should have been a word like faith or miracle based on what we've been through in these few months. And then I was asking God, why did you give me that word or us that word intimacy with all that we've gone through? And God said to me, well, faith can't come except by having intimacy with God. And so many times we're asking God, we want this, God, we want this. But where is your intimate time with God? Because out of your intimacy with God, that's when your faith is going to rise. When your faith rises, that's when you can be obedient to what God tells you to do, regardless of the outcome. You don't even worry about your plan B option. When we stood up here and we declared that miracle was going to be raised from the dead, there was no plan B option. We had the capsule in the car, ready to go. We had a baby bag packed. We had everything ready for her because we believed. And we know that we serve a God who can raise people from the dead. I want to live my life in obedience to God. What are you doing with your life? Are you living in obedience to God, or are you too worried about what the person next to you thinks? It's time to take the limits off. We've got to get up and we've got to get free. I was reading the story of the fig tree this morning in Mark, and Jesus is hungry and he sees this fig tree and he goes, this fig tree, and it's got no fruit on it. and he curses the fig tree and nothing happens on the outside physically. And the next day, the disciples and Jesus are walking back past it about 24 hours later. And then they see that this fig tree has withered up from the roots and died. And the disciples remembered what Jesus had said the previous day. Sometimes when God calls you to do something in faith and calls you to do something in obedience, you will not see the results straight away. But let me tell you, something is happening deep in the roots. Something is happening deep in the spirit world that you cannot see, and you are releasing something over your life and over the people's lives around you. It's time to lift our faith. What promise are you holding on to? What thing are you believing God for? What has God called you to do where you keep reasoning it through with your natural mind? It's time to step out in faith and actually do it. I'm not even going to take much longer because I feel like it's time just to do some business with God. Faith. Where's your faith at? You know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. And we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith. But faith and works have to go hand in hand. And too many times we kind of sit, we're like, okay, God, what do you want for me to do? Okay, God, show me the opportunities. And then God tells you something and then you're like, okay, God, now confirm it three times. Or God, do this for me so I know that it's definitely you. And God's saying, no, you know my voice. I've told you what to do. Just get up and go and do it. Where are your works with your faith? Where's the action? Where's the action of the church? You can say all the right things. I can stand here and say all the right things. But what's the fruit of your life telling us? People read your life before they're ever going to read a Bible. What does your life say? Because people are looking for something different. They're not just looking for a person that says, yeah, come to church. Oh, yeah, it's all right, da-da-da. My life's up, my life's down, da-da. Like, we're still going to be real. I'm not saying don't be real. But where is our faith in what we're doing? People can see Jesus in you or they can't see it in you. It's as simple as that. People can't just see a little bit of Jesus. It's either all or nothing. God doesn't want to share. He's tired of sharing. So many times we have our lives and we have a section for God and then we have a section for the things of the world. God doesn't want that. God wants you 100%. Yeah, you're going to sin, but God forgives you. But too many people are caught up in secret things as well, and it's stopping you. You have doubt. Satan tries to make us doubt God. You know, after we had to bear a miracle, it was like straight away this thought popped in our head. Did I really hear from God? That was the first thought. And I was like, Satan, you little tricker. I know that we heard from God. I don't doubt it. Do I understand why he didn't raise her? No, I don't. But I still believe that he's good. I want us to stand to our feet this morning. There are people here today and you don't know Jesus. And you know what? I don't have all the answers, but Jesus does. He knows it all. He created you. He knows everything about us. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, then I want you to find him this morning. He's already here just waiting for you, waiting for you to come home. If you don't know Jesus, I just want you to put your hand up. Is there anyone here that doesn't know Jesus that wants to know Jesus this morning? We're going to take some time. And I believe that there are people here today that God has spoken to you. God's given you a promise. He's given you a dream. He's given you a word, but you haven't seen it come to pass yet. And you're starting to doubt. You're starting to wonder, God, Did you really say that? Did I miss it? There are some of you who feel like you've been sitting for too long and you feel like you need a new measure of faith. You know, God gives measures of faith. God can increase your faith today. And today I'm going to ask you to be bold, because God wants us to be bold. When the Holy Spirit came upon Peter and John, they got this new level of boldness and authority. Months prior to that, they're standing there and they're denouncing even knowing Jesus. And a few months later, the Holy Spirit hits them hard and they start preaching to thousands. They stand in prison and then they stand before the people who crucified Jesus and they tell them, it doesn't matter what you say, we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus. I want you to stand out, come out the front this morning. It doesn't matter if it's not comfortable. If you want God to meet you, if you want God to do something, like I said, there sometimes requires a work with your faith. Sometimes you need to take that step forward and say, God, you know what? I'm going to stand firm on this promise and this word that you gave me. I'm going to stand firm. It doesn't matter about the doubts that have come in. It doesn't matter about the time, because God, you are not limited by time. But God, I surrender that dream and that promise back to you again. I surrender that word back to you again. There are some of you who need a miracle in your life. And the good thing is that we serve a God who does miracles, signs, and wonders. We're just the vessel. We can believe for it, but let me tell you, God's the one who does it. If you need a miracle in your life today, you're stuck in something and you just can't see your way out of it. It might be a health, a doctor has given you a health condition, diagnosed a health condition over you. You know what? It's a fact. It's a physical fact. But it's not a spiritual truth with God. If you need a miracle in your life today, your marriage might be in a problem. God can restore. He does restore. You might need a job. You haven't been able to get work. God can give you work today. It doesn't matter what it is, God can do it for you. God is not limited by time. He's not limited by money. He's not limited by the natural that we can see. If you're standing back there, I want you to close your eyes and just start worshiping God. I'm going to ask the choir to come and pray. We're going to come pray for you this morning. Fred, if you want to come pray.